Wow, isn't Animal Kingdom nice? You can see giraffes, parrots, kangaroos, Thompson's gazelle.
They're Tommies! Tommies!
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Daniel, and welcome to the 10th Laughing Place podcast. Today we are proud to feature a new personality.
I'm Johnny V. I'm the new personality, I guess, on the Laughing Place podcast. I've worked at Walt Disney World and at Disneyland, which is kind of fun. And now I live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and I'm unemployed, so if you live in the area, please email me. My favorite Disney attraction is, of course, the Jungle Cruise. It's very near and dear to my heart. Disneyland is my favorite Disney park, and Lady and the Tramp is my favorite Disney movie.
Oh, that's interesting. Lady and the Tramp. You don't hear that one very often.
No, I enjoy Lady and the Tramp.
There's nothing wrong with Lady and the Tramp.
On this episode, we'll be answering the Call of the Wild as we talk about the future of the Tarzan Rocks site in Armchair Imagineering. Discuss tour tips for Animal Kingdom, give trivia, the top 10 Disney monkeys, and more. We'll start off with the news. MSNBC reports that Disney is planning to build a theme park in Shanghai by 2010. The Orlando Sentinel is reporting that Disney is denying published reports that they are building a theme park in Beijing.
Of course. That's the way it's been.
So, do you think they're really doing it? Because I don't think they are, because I think that would be really silly with Hong Kong right there.
I don't think they are either, especially if Disney's always said that they weren't going to, and I heard that Shanghai was going to be the next China theme park.
I really hope that Disneylands don't end up cropping up about like McDonald's. Kind of takes away the specialness of it a little.
A billion guests served? It would be really weird. Like you said, Shanghai and then Beijing. It's like they're taking a dart to a geography board and they're like, hey, let's predict Disney's gonna build here next. Well, a geography map. They're taking a dart to a map and being like, hey, Disney's gonna build here next, you know? Next will be the reports that they're building in like Antarctica or something.
Hoodwinked edged out Disney's Glory Road to top last weekend's box office charts. The Associated Press reported that Disney is in talks to purchase Pixar. The deal is expected to make Steve Jobs the largest individual shareholder in Disney. Today's trivia question is, what Disney character is featured in a cameo in Tarzan and at Tarzan's Treehouse at Disneyland? The answer is coming up later. And now it's time for Armchair Imagineering, where we formulate ideas for Disney destinations around the world. Today's topic is what to do with the site that Tarzan Rocks now plays on, because Tarzan Rocks is going to be closing, and Disney has not announced an official replacement for it yet. So, Johnny, since you're new, you might as well start us off.
Oh, thanks. I've heard rumors on some of the message boards a long time ago that Finding Nemo might be the next show that they do, but that seems kind of weird to me since they're putting in the Finding Nemo Living Seas area just across the street at Epcot. My idea, I think that would be really cool to somehow tie in the Chester and Hester's area, which is right around the corner, and then Expedition Everest. I don't know how you would do that, but I always thought that that would be kind of cool, because Theater in the Wild's kind of in a weird spot for the Animal Kingdom. I never thought that Tarzan Rock kind of fit so well in there anyway. Even Festival of the Lion King would be a better spot for that, and then bulldoze the Mickey Mini area.
Maybe like Chester and Hester put together a Yeti show or something, you know, like Broadway style, maybe a kick line or something.
That would be so hilarious.
It would be hilarious. I'm just not sure if Animal Kingdom's ready for that yet.
Yeah, the thing about the Nemo show is that it's hard to picture how they would stage that without having people in these horrendous costumes that, like, have fish parts protruding from their abdomen and whatnot. Although it could be sort of like the Odyssey show at SeaWorld and be like all artsy and you don't exactly even know what you experienced after you get out of there.
I always enjoyed the fish hats at Steps in Time at California Adventure.
That's true. Yeah. Actually, they could just bring back Steps in Time. They have the costumes for it. Or the Jungle Book show for that matter. I don't know if any of... Well, I know Jonathan saw it. But that was in a really cool show, I thought. It only ran for 7 months, too. Quite depressing, actually. It was really, really good. I personally would bring it back. Why exactly did they remove it in the first place? Well, because Tarzan was the big movie and they wanted the marketing push for it, essentially. I mean, it's synergy.
Maybe Disney could go along with the dinosaur theme and get the rights to do a Land Before Time show. You know, Land Before Time chapter 900 or whatever they're up to now.
That's just a frightening thought. I don't think... just Land Before Time and Animal Kingdom in the same sentence I think is completely sacrilegious. Disney's Animal Kingdom presents the Land Before Time on show number 702 featuring... The title would have been on the map.
Okay, I think Joe Rohde actually wants to kill me right about now.
But more seriously, thinking about ideas for a Disney tie-in is pretty tough because it is in between Everest and Dinorama, which are about as thematically opposite as you could possibly get. I've heard that they're going to be enclosing the theater, which means that they're going to probably create more of a... experience within itself, but they'll be more encased, as it were. So essentially, the theming within the building could be whatever show they want. It's just the outside that's going to have to theme well. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I would like to see them do. I think reviews tend to work the best when trying to do too much plot, like Snow White and even Aladdin. I mean, they're good shows, but I think that they're better off doing ones with lots of different songs from lots of different movies than just focusing on one, personally. I think I've come up with a tie-in with Chester and Hester, though. Because one thing that Animal Kingdom does not have, but yet may not necessarily want to have, because it's not exactly the same sort of mentality, but some show that just features more animals in general, I mean, you know, you wouldn't necessarily expect to see, you know, animals doing tricks or something in Animal Kingdom, but if they could perhaps find some sort of, was it civilized way to do that within that area, because that's really the only thing I could think of that would, something unique. That's mainly the only thing I could think of in that department.
Sure, why not? Because they have Animal Planet Live over at Universal Studios, and they have animals doing tricks and stuff that are, you know, very humane. You know, something like that where they would have animals and stuff in real life doing, you know, tricks because, you know, is Flights of Wonder really doing all that hot? Are people really going to go see the Birds of Prey show and stuff? Does that, you know, I've never actually been there, and I've been to the Animal Kingdom several times, but if it was a big enclosed theater and I knew there was lots of different sorts of animals doing all sorts of tricks, I would be more inclined to pop in, don't you think?
Maybe moving along with Animal Kingdom's conservation message. I don't know if there's necessarily a way to do this without it coming off as deadly dull to the general guest, but maybe some sort of discussion about what goes into simply training these animals, you know, even just what they need for the animals to do to help them out, you know, like stepping onto a scale so that they can be weighed or something, maybe going into like the basic principles of animal training and stuff like that, how it works, how they do that.
And I don't think it would be dull at all, just as long as they throw in a monkey.
Yeah, I mean, that was just my main concern, is that Animal Kingdom is all about conservation and, you know, basically wide open space for animals. Let's make the animals happy and everything. You know, you go on the safari and it's not all about, you know, small areas for the animals and everything. So it might be a little bit demeaning in a way if you just, you know, displayed the animals on stage. It just depends. You'd have to be very careful about it, or else you might send mixed messages to people in some cases.
Another idea I had that I wanted to throw out there was maybe just the idea of taking a bunch of the animals from Disney movies and doing some sort of review of the Disney movies that have featured animals. There's so many Disney movies that have featured animals that haven't really been covered. you know, and just do a review of, like, the more famous scenes from those movies and do something with that, you know.
They might even be able to fit in Lady and the Tramp.
I would love that. But dogs at the Animal Kingdom, that just seems kind of mundane, don't you think?
Well, but in the context of a show that celebrates Disney's animals, it's just maybe the more mundane animals in that show, but, you know, if they're eating spaghetti on stage because they're puppets or something, that's not exactly mundane.
No, yeah, I would. That would be very cool.
Well, that concludes our armchair Imagineering discussion for this week. Next week, we're going to talk about what should be done with the Wonders of Life site at Epcot. Obviously, its days have been numbered for quite some time, and in this last week when it was open during the holiday season, you could basically count the amount of people in the pavilion on one hand. So it's pretty safe to say it's going away soon. So if you have any ideas about it, you can call us at 1-866-327-5072, and that's a toll-free number. And if you're under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents' or guardian's permission before calling.
And now it's time for Tour Tips, where we give advice from the seasoned Disney Destinations visitor.
Today we're going to be discussing different tips for touring Animal Kingdom. So, somebody take it away, since I've been talking a lot.
Well, I'd say that my first tip would be to make sure to visit the safari during the colder times of day if you want to see more of the animals. That would pretty much mean first thing in the morning and later on in the evening. My advice would be to head straight over the safari first thing in the morning, ride the ride if it's a short enough line, or if not, go ahead and consider picking up a fast pass for it and going back later.
And when it comes to short lines for Kilimanjaro Safaris, another recommended thing to see after the Jam and Jungle Parade. Just position yourself in Africa by the entrance during the parade, and you'll be able to get on with nearly no wait. And one of the tricks of visiting Animal Kingdom, I think, is to make sure you soak in all the atmosphere. It's one of those parks that a lot of the money put into the park wasn't put into the actual rides or attractions per se, because there's not as many of them. It's put into the atmosphere, so you got to make sure to take in the atmosphere and the ambience, because otherwise you're going to miss out on a lot of the detail of the park.
And going along with that, I think you should never discount Chester and Hester's area there. I love that place. I used to hate it because it looked ugly, but then when I realized that Primeval World. Right. When I realized that Primeval World and Dinosaur are essentially the same story, just held with two different rides and with two different viewpoints, I immediately fell in love with the place.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's almost like when you go on rides in other theme parks that you feel they're trying to do a Disney experience and failing miserably. It's almost like a parody of that, so it's a lot of fun.
Like the E.T. ride at Universal.
Ouch.
I love that sign that they have on the way from Dinosaur to Dinorama. The way dinosaurs were meant to be big, green, and fun.
But that goes along with what Daniel was saying about how you should notice all the details in the park. Like, that's a fun sign, and there's the other sign that says on the rafters, when in Florida, be sure to visit Epcot. I think that's hilarious, but that's not something that you're necessarily going to experience on a ride. It's just wandering around and soaking up the atmosphere.
Yeah, that sign over by the Chester and Hester shop is one of my favorite little details of Walt Disney World. It just cracks me up every time I look at it. Another thing about Animal Kingdom that's pretty good is the food. There's a lot of great places for food, and also pass holders get discounts at some of the restaurants there, which is unusual, especially for quick service restaurants. And I find that the Flame Tree Barbecue is a really good place to eat, especially because you can usually get some tables if you kind of have to wander a bit. Some people don't realize they're there, but if you keep moving as far down as possible, you can get tables right near the water, which give you a great view of Everest.
What's great, too, is that Rainforest Cafe has a park entrance designated specifically for it, so you can go right outside the park and into Rainforest Cafe, and then go straight from Rainforest Cafe back inside the park with no.
And that entrance is really good to use. I would say if you're visiting in the morning when it's busier out front, because generally you can walk right in through the Rainforest Cafe entrance because most people don't realize it's there. You have to walk through the shop, so that's, I guess, a little annoying for some people, but it's a lot quicker than waiting in the lines to get into the park.
The trivia question was, what Disney character is featured in a cameo in Tarzan and at Tarzan's Treehouse? The answer is Mrs. Potts.
Today's top 10 list is about monkeys and primate-ish creatures. So, to start off, at number 10, Turk from Tarzan.
Is Turk a man or a woman? Because I always thought Turk was a man, but then Rosie O'Donnell does his voice. I was never clear on that.
Turk is definitely a she, but I think you're right. It is one of those mixed up characters. It's kind of like Piglet, how everybody thinks Piglet is a girl. Yeah, Turk is definitely, or a boy. But Piglet, everybody thinks is a girl when he's a man. So, Turk is a girl, and Piglet's a man, and... Number 9, the gorillas in the Jungle Cruise. I really particularly like the gorilla that's fighting the crocodile for a banana. It's a rather pointless scene. It actually sort of looks like he's trying to bait the crocodile using a banana, and it doesn't seem to be working very well. Although now I hear that they blow up the ship, so maybe they have more of a point.
With the banana?
I think they use dynamite or something. I don't know. I haven't been out of Disneyland in forever. I really wish I'll be going there 2 months from now, so... Yay!
Yeah, please clear that up for us.
Number 8, Jack from Pirates of the Caribbean. And no, Johnny Depp is not a monkey. I think the monkey needs to, like, spawn his own series, the Skeletal Monkey, because it's just too cool.
That's just a Saturday morning cartoon waiting to happen.
Or a direct-to-video, probably, with music.
From Phil Collins.
Number 7, the Abominable Snowman from the Matterhorn. Affectionately named Harold. Harold is so cute. Until you see his teeth, and then he just freaks you out. And then his eyes change colors, and they freak you out. And then he roars, and he freaks. And so, in all reality, he looks cute and fluffy on the outside, but he's kind of freaky. Although now he has his disco ball, or whatever, disco strobe light set up. So, you know, he's rocking in the caves.
That's one funky monkey.
He's listening to Phil Collins, for sure. Number 6, Mighty Joe Young. By Mighty Joe Young. It's like King Kong light, you know. It's like if Peter Jackson only had $70 million to make King Kong, this is the movie he would have been. No, I'm just kidding. It's a cute movie. I don't mean to knock it. It's just funny. Number 5, Ape from George of the Jungle. John Cleese in a monkey suit. Doesn't get much better than that. Then he gets a Vegas show at the end. Yeah, he really means business there.
Monkey business.
Wow. I thought I was the one with the bad jokes on this show.
See what you invited over to your podcast?
Number 4, Rapples from the Barefoot Executive. See, I think Disney executives took this movie way too seriously, and they actually were hiring a monkey to do ABC programming until like 2 years ago. Or maybe that was the whole ABC family buyout thing. That was a monkey said that the ratings were in the Bachelor 4 marathons with the commentary segments. Number 3, Stanley from The Misadventures of Merlin Jones and the Monkey's Uncle. You gotta love Tommy Kirk, Annette Funicello, and a monkey. I mean, again, it doesn't get much better than that. I beg to differ. Number 2, Abu from Aladdin. You know, you gotta feel bad for Aladdin because he wouldn't have gotten into the whole mess had Abu not stolen that big gem. Of course, he never would have become rich or anything either, so it's a circular thing, but Abu causes, like, a lot of his trouble. It's all part of the great circle of life. Number 1, the one who monkeys around the most. It's King Louie! Yay! Dab-a-doo-dee, dab-a-doo-dee. Okay, I have, like, no soul, so I can't pull that off. Anyway, King Louie is a very great character, and in fact, they kept trying to resurrect King Louie. It seemed like they even made that album with King Louie and Robin Hood. It's pretty scary. I think we'll have to play a clip on it on the show because it's so ridiculous that King Louie was. I think it's because Louie Prima supposedly really was mad that he wasn't in Robin Hood, and so he petitioned and he got them to let him record this ridiculous record where King Louie and Robin Hood were friends, regardless of the fact that they're hundreds of miles apart. Do you have anything to say on King Louie, Johnny?
No. I'm just trying to still wrap my head around the whole, Robin Hood and King Louie thing, because I thought King Louie was a real monkey and Robin Hood was an anthropomorphic animal. So they couldn't really communicate and sing together. Or maybe I'm just reading into this.
One of them is human, but it's not human. He's a fox that's, like you said, anthropomorphized. But then King Louie is like a real monkey that Mowgli can only talk to because he's like a kid in the context of the Jungle Book. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
But yet Baloo is sort of humanistic because no bear could really walk that thoroughly and everything. Yeah, I think the Jungle Book is pretty anthropomorphized, too. It's just they don't wear clothes. Of course, not every animal in Robin Hood wears clothes, either. Yes, we had a very long discussion about this, actually. Because if you think about it, like, Little John only wears the shirt, and he wears no pants. And then Robin Hood, I think, wears a shirt, but no pants. No pants. And then, like, the king wears, like, a robe, but nothing else. So it's weird. And then some characters don't wear any clothes. So there's like different rules in animal society on what is acceptable.
It goes back to the old Donald Duck debate over why he puts a towel around his waist when he gets out of the shower.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Laughing Place Podcast. Remember, if you have any comments or questions, or you just want to submit an armchair Imagineering idea, next week we're going to be discussing what to do with the Wonders of Life site. You can call us at 1-866-327-5072, or you can email us at podcast@laughingplace.com, or just post in the podcast section of the Laughing Place discussion forums. And now for the last words.
Good things come to those who use FastPass.
Goodbye.
See ya.
King Louie and Robin Hood were friends long ago. If you believe in make-believe, you'll find that this is so. They used to hang around together like a set of twins. That's the way that they became the very best of friends.